Michael Copeland, Ulster Unionist Party. Are you optimistic? Are you going to grab this and run with it?
Stephen, I'm not really given to knee-jerk negativity, and this is, I hope, about making Northern Ireland work and going forward together. The issues that concerned me last night were largely that the message was being lost in the way in which it was presented, and it sort of evidenced that the executive wasn't really practising what it preaches.
What do you mean?
I think it's a matter of concern. Well, if everyone's going to go forward together, as your show demonstrated, there were several executive parties who appeared to be completely in the dark. I know what the executive should have been doing yesterday. It should have been meeting in a normal meeting to consider things like the Welfare Reform Bill or the Welfare Reform Act. That appears to be put in the back burner.
Your party walked away.
Yes, I understand the circumstances, and what it walked away from is not what we're now talking about. It's just been established.
Right, so you're on board, you're going to grab this, you're going to run with it.
That is my hope, my wish and my belief. The issues are extremely important in this constituency.
Okay. SDLP's Conal McDevitt, were you briefed about this? Were you across this? Were you consulted?
No. But you still put out your press release without reading it?
Sorry, Jonathan, I was asked a question. I'm not debating you. No, Stephen, I wasn't.
How do you feel about not being consulted about this?
Well, you know, we're grown-ups. You know, if Sinn Féin and the DUP want to try what has failed for them so many times before, which is to do a deal amongst themselves and try and present it as a fait accompli, then that's their prerogative. It's their right. The question for me is whether or not this actually substantially deals with the issue of the causes of division in our society, whether it deals with sectarianism, whether it will form the foundation stone for reconciliation. And I think the answer to that is what's on the table, and what's on the table is little more than an extended press release at this stage, won't. It'll certainly help manage division, and that's great, but it won't deal with the causes of division. And I think we just need to be really honest with ourselves. I think we need to be very careful not to hype up stuff, you know, not to make promises we can't deliver on. I think we need to be careful not to try and sell people in Northern Ireland something that people are saying is a solution to our problems, when really all it will do is help deal with some of the symptoms of some of our problems. So no, we weren't consulted, but you know something, that's hardly news, because that tends to be the way government is done with Sinn Féin and the DUP. You're kind of used to that. The real issue is on the substantial issues of the causes of division, are we going to move forward? So, for example, will we get agreement to make sectarianism illegal? Will we get agreement to bring forward a law that says to be a sectarian person, to behave in a sectarian manner, should be a crime? Will we get agreement to regulate flag flying? Because there is no getting around this. We don't agree on what flag should fly where.
And what Sinn Féin and the DUP are saying, and Jennifer and Jonathan, you can say this better, you know, for yourselves better than I can.
I don't really want to hear more of Jennifer and Jonathan, to be honest, Stephen. I think we
want the rest of us get a chance, Stephen.
What, you don't want them? You don't want them to talk to you?
You don't want to lead?
I've listened very patiently for 42 minutes.
Exactly.
Jennifer and Jonathan, tell me
somewhat similar.
And I can read the press release, and I think the people in Northern Ireland, they can read it. If you have a question for me and you want me to ask me about the SDLP's view, I'm happy to answer that.
10,000.
You can not only read it, Conal, you can react to it before it was issued. You issued a statement that we were rehashing the shared future before the SDLP.
Right, I don't want to listen to Jonathan Bell.
So I think you need to become more positive, Conal.
Stephen, can I respond to some of the detail of Jonathan Bell?
You can in a second, Chris.
Into the process, and we welcome that. So let's move forward together and deal with these issues in the old party group.
So 10,000 voluntary places, each cycle lasting 1 year, Colin McDevitt. Does that not excite you?
Fantastic.
Work placements, young people get into different communities.
Absolutely brilliant idea, Stephen. Fair play to whoever thought it up. But what do we know about this idea? We know that the minister, who will be responsible for delivering it, the first he heard about that was whenever he got the news from the BBC yesterday. What else do we know about it? We know that it's not costed. We know that it hasn't been properly thought through. So let's bank it as a good idea. But please, let's none of us go on the radio saying we absolutely promise to deliver this.
It hasn't been worked out.
Well, it is promising.
And the problem I think we have, even if I may...
Hold on, Jonathan. Hold on, Jonathan. Go ahead, Conal.
If I may, I think the problem that we have is, look, I know the DUP didn't support the Good Friday Agreement. I know they don't want the type of power sharing we have today. I understand all that. I get it. But what they can't do is pretend that they're in a different type of government to the one they're in. And the type of government they're in is not one where, as Jonathan may have suggested earlier on, if I heard him correctly, Peter Robinson and Martin McGuinnesson are the boss, and they send, to quote him, and I wrote it down, send instructions to others to do what they want done.
So the type of government they're in is a power-sharing executive with
things
that need
to be done by agreement. Now, there's a basic question about what...
Jonathan, one second. Wait, Jonathan. Wait.
I mean, Stephen, I really, like, you know, I'm very happy to debate, but I'm not happy to come on and just be heckled, you know? I sat quietly for 41 minutes and listened intensively.
You've got the time now, Colonel. Use it.
And what I'm saying is the type of government that we're in, the type of government that the people vote for here, the type of government that we were given at Good Friday, which is what the overwhelming majority of the people of Northern Ireland support,
okay,
is a power-sharing executive.
All right.
And what I want to know is how can you cancel an executive meeting to call a press conference to say that this is what the executive's big plan is whenever you've never so much as discussed the matter with the executive? You would have thought that the obvious thing to have done with this, so as we're not having this needless debate today, would have been for the First and Deputy First Minister yesterday, rather than call a press conference, to actually bring that paper, if it is a paper, to the executive and to say to their colleagues, look, we've got some really good ideas here, some good ideas in education, some good ideas in Dell, got some good ideas around interfaces, which is, you know, David Ford's responsibility, Minister of Justice. What do you think? Could we actually package this up and own it all together? But instead of doing that, they ran to the microphones to make
statements that are now
actually proving...
Okay, Chris Little. Chris Little.
Thanks, Stephen. I want to work on the detail of these issues. I want to work with Jonathan Delfrin. The continued use phrases like tear down and Quislings is a disgrace, not fitting of his office of junior minister. On the issues, Alliance withdrew from the CSI process because we weren't going to be a fig leaf for an inadequate strategy or strategy that doesn't tackle difficult issues.
Well, is this adequate?
Let's look at education, OK? 10 shared education campuses in 5 years. That's half the rate of integrated schools since 1981. A two-week summer campus. All contact is good, but that is somewhat of an insult to some of the existing cross-community projects that are already in existence. All interfaces by 20...
How is it an insult?
There are programmes that last summers long that take people from all across Ireland. And as was mentioned earlier on the programme, these projects have been dismissed previously and suddenly they're reappearing. All contact is good, but this is a 10-year strategic vision for dealing with division in Northern Ireland. All interfaces by 2023. There is no way you're going to deal with interfaces if you don't address the difficult issue of flags. The no Brits about the place approach of Sinn Féin or the all-day, every-day position of the DUP has to change. There has to be a compromise. There is a proposal of respectful display on designated days on the table. Why can that not be agreed? But there is a proposal in terms of a working group. You know, we can work on these issues. But this, what we're hearing at the moment, is definitely not adequate for a 10-year strategic vision for Northern Ireland.
Jennifer McCann?
Well, I think Sinn Féin has shown leadership, and I think Sinn Féin has shown that they can compromise. And I mean, we can
where have you compromised?
Stephen, we can sit in this programme. I mean, I have listened to your programme over this past way. And, I mean, you have been criticising continually OFM, DFM for not bringing forward a CSI strategy. And indeed, we have the criticism has come very strongly from particularly from the likes of your programme. Now, when we bring forward a set of proposals that we can agree on, because, and I mean, I don't want to...
Proposals with very little detail. Now, if that detail comes, fair enough. But there's very little detail in this.
Stephen, if you're going to ask me a question, will you please let me finish? Now, I know Chris and Conal and all the rest, and I mean, we have had meetings and we've talked about issues. And I know that there are parts of these proposals that, and they know, that we aren't going to get agreement on within the structures that are there, and that's around flags and parades and dealing with the past. But there are proposals here that we can get agreement on, and we can look forward, and we can...
They're already happening anyway.
But, exactly, but the thing about it is, what I'm trying to say here is that we need to look forward here. We need to go forward. And we can sit and talk about division, about sectarianism and all those issues on this programme today, if that's what you want to do. But we can also say that
there are the issues, Jennifer. Sectarianism is the real issue.
That working group with the independent chair and the two members of each party, and we can look at those difficult issues within that group and bring other people on board with that group. But we can also look at practical proposals which will help our young people. And let's not forget here, this isn't about political parties. Political parties aren't going to get everything that they want. They're never going to get everything that they want. There has to be compromise, and there has to be that mutual respect shown.
Okay, go on, Colin.
We need to go forward. We need to go forward with that.
It depends on what we're looking to achieve. If we can manage the divisions in our society better, well, then this type of approach is great. If we want to actually root out sectarianism, if we want to transform our society forever, then this type of approach is totally inadequate. So basically, here's the tests. Like, you know, there's not that many of them. Are we willing to make it illegal to be a bigot in Northern Ireland? Are we willing to put a definition of sectarianism on the statute book and make it a crime to behave in a sectarian manner? Do we have the courage to regulate flag flying? Which means, if you think about it, a bit like with parades, nobody wins. Do we really have the courage to begin to deal with our past and to put in place a process that allows us to deal with the past? That means that there's the possibility of truth, the possibility of justice, and the possibility of people being able to move without the ghosts of the past.
Michael Copeland, is there any...
Either that or we're just reduced. We're reducing politics and we're reducing leadership to, well, we'll do what we can and it's better than nothing. And that's okay, but I just don't think that's enough.
Okay, Michael Copeland, is there anything on these proposals that you object to? Or do you embrace it all?
It has been damaged by the way in which it's been brought forward, as I've said, and it's hard to know what you're going to embrace if you don't actually know what it is, and I think therein lies the difficulty.
Your party walked away from the talks.
That was previous talks. This is an entirely different kettle of fish. And so I already said the leader has given an undertaking to seriously and properly engage to take the Northern Ireland forward. There's a
Not just yet. Let him finish.
Okay. All right.
There's a massive job of work to be done here. And at the end of the day, we could accuse this of being apple pie and motherhood. The truth is, if it is delivered on the ground and the way in which it's being stated, that would be a good
thing. Jonathan Bell.
There are serious
Thank you. There's just two quick points in terms of, I don't know where Chris is coming from with this talk of a 10-year strategy and programme. What we announced yesterday was the programmes, the solutions and the actions, and we will bring forward the strategy within 2 weeks. To address Conal's point about the hugely successful 10,000 young people in the United Youth Programme, I don't know what he's talking about, one minister in Dale, because...
If you
were up to speed, Conal, on the 10,000 young people, you would know that it's a cross-community, it's a cross-departmental issue. And because it is a cross-departmental issue, it'll be for the executive to decide who is the lead minister.
So why didn't you bring it to the executive before announcing it, Jonathan? And so therefore have a programme that you can stand over rather than one that's falling apart.
You even read them. Why would they ask the LP cop with their hands down rubbishing the proposal before it was issued?
Why didn't you bring it to the executive?
Not even you can spin your way out of that one.
Now, it's a question, Jonathan.
It's an executive building better
community. Hold on.
It's about an executive creating better citizens. It's about giving employment experience, structured volunteer opportunities, supported by a stipend to a lost generation, and giving 10,000 of our young people.
Okay. 1 second. And Jonathan Bell, on that stipend, how much is it?
I'm not precise in the detail. And the reason I'm not precise is because we're still with a specialist team working out some things. What we do know is it'll be genuinely additional to what's there. What we are designing it to do is to make sure that the benefits that the young people are on, they're not penalised, because we want to make work pay and we want to give these young people a real incentive, not only maybe in terms of a stipend. There's also other options that I'm looking at with a specialist team in OFM, DFM, options like, you know, subsidised leisure, to give our young people who are going to get out of bed in the morning, who are going to work together with people from another community,
all right,
real hope
and
a real
And just confirm to me, Jonathan Bell, how much this is costing Northern Ireland.
Well, what I'm looking at within the team, we have spent something like £3 billion addressing these issues in the past. But the proposals I was looking at, which I told the BBC last night on The View, is around about £500 million. But that builds upon the £10 billion that we're already spending. We'll reprioritise, we'll set the strategic direction.
And where's that £500 million coming from? Because people in Northern Ireland have been told that there's not much money around, and so they've got to take cuts, and there's going to be cuts to all different types of benefits and all of this kind of stuff. Well, where's the £500 million coming from?
There's certain amounts of money that we are looking towards. I've been battling in Brussels for hours to get our £150 million under Peace for.
Have we got it?
Initiative. Well, it's in paragraph 55. I understand, and I understand from talking to my colleagues in the European Union that once it goes in, it's very unlikely that this money will come out.
Okay.
It has to be voted on.
Okay, so that's £350 million that's left to find then. Where's that coming from?
There's a rule about Peace 4. You can't use Peace 4 for employment.
Our budget, and that's why we costed it out, because let me be clear. When the First Minister and Deputy First Minister, who lead on community relations, that's their ministerial responsibility, who lead the executive and who lead Northern Ireland, when we say that we are going to deliver within our £10 billion that we have, within the £150 million that we are hoping to be bringing in, within whatever resources we have, what we will do, we will reprioritise the resources
but you see,
together
fair enough.
To build the United Community.